Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Good to see you again. God bless you. It's good to be here in this capacity. Thanking you all for being here on another great Memorial Day. It's such a time to reflect on how blessed we are as a nation. How blessed we are to have young folks that go and do what needs to be done to protect our freedoms. We enjoy so much here. But we should always remember that freedom isn't free. It can cost someone, and it costs Jesus Christ bountifully that we can experience such a wonderful homeland. And we always pray that God would bless America, because we feel, if you know our history, that we came here for this reason and for such a time as this, to be a light to the world, to be a city on a hill, that men might see our good works and glorify God in heaven. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. We are, like I said, glad to be here in this capacity. Brother Rocky asked me to help out, and I'm always glad to do what God lay on my heart and hands to do. You know, we come to the table to get what we need, because what we need is right here at the table. You know, we must eat physically to be strengthened and to grow in our physical bodies. We also need nutrition from the Word of God to grow spiritually. So we come to do such a thing as this, as to invest in God's Word and to receive what God has for us today. I want to share with you guys today something for God's Word concerning fishing. But before we do that, we want to invite the speaker in, okay? We can't do anything until God's presence show up. So let's pray. Father, we come before you right now in the name of Jesus with gratitude in our hearts, Lord God, for what you're about to do. We thank you, Lord God, that we declaring that our hearts are open, that our minds are ready, and Lord God, and we're ready to receive from you. Bless us today, Lord God, through the reading of your word, through the worship of your name, oh Lord God. We thank you for what you're about to do. Prepare us right now. Open our mind eyes, and Lord God, give us ears to hear, heart to receive, and a will to do what your words say. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. We gave the subject to this teaching today, fishing for the big catch. Fishing for the big catch. Lesson number one, the very first thing, we should invite Jesus into our boat. We're going to find in this world today that Peter was fishing, and he had issues going on with fishing, being a professional fisherman. He fished for a living. And he fished for a living, he's looking for a big catch, because he get paid by his catch. And if the catch is bountiful, the pay is good. Not so good if you don't, right? Amen. Well, first of all, Peter, you'll find that Peter come back that night after fishing, and Jesus asked him, what did he catch? He didn't catch anything. But he did the right thing then, because Peter invited Jesus into his boat. See, that's what we need to do as well in our life, invite Jesus into our boat. That's the first thing. Whenever you want to start, you start with Jesus. Invite Jesus into your boat. Nothing, brothers and sisters, have greater influence on our personal success than whether or not we have Jesus in our life. Nothing. Nothing. You see, remember, Peter on his own, fished all night, toiled all night, and caught nothing. Nothing. But when Jesus got on board, more fish than he ever caught in his life, more fish than he had ever caught, Jesus made it available for him. Now, I want you to know right now, right at this point, right here, Peter could have derailed his miracle. He could have derailed everything right there if he didn't remain humble. And Jesus told Peter where to fish and how to fish. He could have said, wait a minute now, Jesus. I know you're good at your ministry. And I've seen you heal the sick. But I'm a fisherman. I'm a professional. You could tell me how to fish? But he didn't, see. Peter remained humble. Because you know God hates the proud, right? But he gives grace to the humble. So Peter operated in humility. And he did remain faithful. But nevertheless, he said, I'm going to drop my nets right where you say. Now, see, this is the thing about Jesus. If you read through the scriptures, Jesus never performed a miracle without a purpose. He always used his miracles to illustrate principles, kingdom principles, things the way God do things. That's what we need to seek. We need to, you know, our ways sometimes work, sometimes don't. God's ways always work. God's ways always produce a big catch. So this incident teaches us, brothers and sisters, one thing here is that when we have failed, this is what we do. We invite Jesus in our boat. That's one principle. Yes. So this incident also teaches us what to do when our best just ain't good enough. For Peter, you see, Peter was a fisherman. This was his career. This is the way he made a living. This is how he got paid. So Jesus used, so after Peter invited Jesus into his business, into his boat was the principal part of his business. If you're going to catch fish, you need to go where the fish are. And then you need a means of bringing them back. His boat did that. His boat was his principal part of his business. So when Peter invited Jesus into his business, then Jesus used that as a platform for his ministry. Let's look at Luke 5, if you will, to shine a little spiritual light on this. Luke 5, chapter 3. Luke 5, chapter 3. Now, you know, I read this many times before, but somehow I just read right over top of it, you know. And this is why God always encouraged us to study his word, not just read it. Very soon I see the term read. He wants you to study his word and meditate on it. And we see that all the time. Study and meditate. Because, see, Holy Spirit can work in your meditation. He can reveal things to you in your meditation, bring things back to your memory. If you see Luke chapter 5, verse 3, it says right here, then he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little ways from the land, just a little way. And he sat down and taught the multitudes from the boat. I missed that many times. I read, and the biggest thing I was seeing is Jesus getting in the boat and showing them how to catch fish. I always read that, these whole three scriptures here, and the main thing I see is, you know, Jesus teaching Peter how to catch fish. But this is the first thing that Jesus did. Jesus used his boat, his business, to do his ministry. You see that? First, right? Yeah. So, what did Jesus do then? He used that boat of Peter's as a platform to do his ministry and, you know, and speaking to all these multitude of people because they needed something, right? And Jesus was about to give it to them. That was his concern. But he used Peter's business to do it, right? You see, if you are willing to do what Peter did, right, He'll do the same for you. He'll do the very same for you. He'll bless what you give him. If you're willing to give him all of your life, he will bless all of your life. It's a matter of humble surrender, brothers and sisters. And here's another thought. Having Jesus on your boat, in your business, in your life, it removes the fear of failure. How many times we don't do things that we should be doing, accomplish things that we should be accomplishing because of fear? If we know we got Jesus on board, we know we got Jesus' presence, it removes that fear, and it reduces your worries about the results. See, when Peter brought Jesus on board, the results were astonishing. It was incredible. But don't miss the sequence. Peter used his boat for Jesus' purposes. Then Jesus blessed Peter's boat and used it to meet all of his needs. See, let's continue on in that scripture there, Luke 5, and read verses 4 and 5. It said, when he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your net. After he had started doing his ministry, after he had finished his ministry, then he decided to bless Peter. But Simon answered and said to him, Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down my net. You see, Peter remained humble in humility. Like he knew that Jesus, you know, knew he had needs. Jesus intended on meeting his needs. And you'll find out that he did, and did very well. Okay? Now, he gave Peter these instructions. And we'll find them in Matthew 6. If y'all will turn that way, shine a little light on this, a spiritual light on this, in Matthew 6, verse 28 through 33. See, Peter worrying about his needs, and his needs was catching fish. But this is what Matthew 6, 28, 33 reveals. Talking to Peter, why do you worry about clothing? So consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, and they neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothed the grass of the fields, which today is, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? See, some people worry about clothes and food. Peter worrying about fish. But it's still all of these things. You understand what I'm saying? It's still all of these things. He said, therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink or what shall we wear? First, he wanted to do is, after all, these things the Gentiles seek. What he's saying, he ain't talking about Gentiles as a race. You're talking about Gentiles as a people that's not in covenant with him. He said, these people want these things too. He said, I know all about these things. He said, but first, in 33, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things be added to you. All these needs, you're going to get these needs, but first you worry about my business. Let's get the sequence right, Peter. So he said, first, and this is for us as well, man. First, seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness. You see, we don't have any. We traded ours in and made a good deal at that. He took our sins and gave us God's righteousness, the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ. So we should seek that way to have the right relationship with God, to do things the kingdom way, do things the way that they're done in heaven. That's how we pray. May your kingdom come. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Get that order right. Get that order right. That's fishing lesson number one, ladies and gentlemen. Now, moving on to fishing lesson number two. You see, this is what we need to know. God is interested in our successes. God is interested in your successes. See, Peter knew that Jesus was a great teacher. He knew that he could heal the sick. But what we and Peter, through this lesson, is about to learn is that Jesus wants you to succeed in life as well. He wants you to succeed in your career, in your business. You see, Peter had all the right equipment. He had this great boat he could go fishing in. Peter had the right fishing knowledge. He had, and I'm sure he knew the best fishing holes. Peter was a professional fisherman. But something was missing. We can get caught in that same rut, brothers and sisters. We can go to work every day. We can know our job inside and out and have all the best equipment, tools, gadgets to work with, but still find that there's something missing. You see, with Peter, he had fished all night by himself, toiled the whole night and caught nothing. Now, if he is a fisherman getting paid for the fish he catch, the larger the catch, the better the pay. I wouldn't consider this night a success, would you? Matter of fact, it was more like a disaster, wouldn't you say? You got to catch fish if you're going to sell fish, right? My Lord. But let me tell you something. Peter then made probably the best move in his life. He got Jesus involved in his business. Amen. Did you know that God wants you to succeed? Well, how many people here, let's see a show of hands. How many folks here are married and got children? There you go. That's most of us. That's most of us. That's a good thing. Don't we want our children to succeed? Huh? Don't we? Yeah? Well, God does too. God wants his children to succeed. The question is, do you take God to work with you? Is your business available to him to use at any time? So many times, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, we try to separate our secular from our spiritual life. The problem with that, God can't bless our business. He can't bless our careers if we don't let him have it, right? If we don't get him involved in it, right? See, we have our Christian life all nicely partitioned off from our careers. But this prevents God, like I say, from blessing our careers. And when we realize this, if we are wise, we will begin to operate by scriptural principles. We'll begin to do things God's way. We'll use God's principles in our businesses and in our careers, and they'll allow God to bless our careers and our businesses, right? We shine a little scripture light on this. Let's look at Joshua 1:8, talking about God and our businesses. Turn to Joshua. Joshua 1:8 reads like this. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night. Meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that's written in it. See, this is first. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. See, God got it in his word for us to teach us where to go, how to go, and what to do. It's in there. It's in there, been in there all the time. And sometimes you can read right past it, but taking the time to study and meditate, we can find that God wants us to know these things. Look at a little more light here in Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 48. 16 and 17. Shine a little more light from God on us. He's speaking here in verse 16. He's saying, come near to me. Hear this. I have not spoken in secret from the beginning. From the time it was, I was there. This is Jesus talking. You can see that right here, right? That's in Isaiah. It's also in the Old Testament. It said, and now the Lord God and his Spirit have sent me. You know he's talking about Jesus, right? Thus says the Lord your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. I am the Lord your God, who teaches you the prophet, who leads you by the way you should go. Hallelujah. It's in there. It's in there. Today, claim these promises, brothers and sisters. Stand on them for yourself. And we'll see that Jesus is all that we need. We say that a lot. We sing it a lot. But we need to make it real in our lives and in our hearts that Jesus is all that we need. Like a woman with the issue of blood, she said, if I can just get to Jesus. She pressed through the crowd. If I can just touch the hem of his garments. She realized that Jesus was all that she needed. Hallelujah. See, you know, I've talked to a lot of young Christians and not so young Christians, been around a long time. And they'll tell you things like, I like the New Testament. I don't like the Old Testament. I can't understand the Old Testament. Anyway, Jesus was born in New Testament times. He's after, you know, he's after Peter. I mean, he's after, Abraham and Moses and King David. Yeah, but we find now that Jesus is through the whole Bible, not just the New Testament. The whole Bible is about Jesus. When you get back to Revelations, if you look at the topic of Revelation, it don't just say Revelation. It said the revelations of Jesus Christ. Amen? It's all about Jesus, all through this Bible. All about Jesus. I know in the Old Testament, when Israelites first started out on their journey to the Promised Land, they were a hard-headed bunch of folk, weren't they? Man, they gave Moses a fit. They wore him out, man. I remember when, you know, when they had this problem with water. It was thirsty. They said, Moses, you brought us out here to die. We could have stayed in Egypt where we had plenty of water. You brought us here to starve, to thirst, to die of thirst. And they were, you know, so that water was their need, right? That's what they needed, right? And I many times I said, why did God tell Moses to strike a rock? You know? Moses went to God praying and said, God, you got to help me with these people. You know? Tell me what to do, right? So he told Moses, said, take your rod and strike that rock. And I wonder why that, until I realized it could have been the rock of ages. It could have been a solid rock, right? It could have been the stone that the builders rejected, right? It could have been this rock that he declared that I will build my church and the gates of hell would not prevail against it. That same rock that said that I'll supply all your needs according to my riches and glory. That rock in the Old Testament. Can you see Jesus there? He's through the whole Bible, ladies and gentlemen. He's back even in the Old Testament. And he supplied their needs. Enough water for all those Israelites. And there was a plenty of them. And all their livestock. And the water continued to run. Because that's what the rock of ages will do. That's what he'll do. Solid rock, ladies and gentlemen. Amen. That's lesson number two. Lesson number three coming up. Peter said, nevertheless, at your word, I will let down my net. See, what we should do, this is a lesson to us, is cooperate with God's plan for your life. Jesus taught the disciples where to fish, when to fish, and how to fish. And he will teach us how to succeed as well in life. But like Peter, sometimes your plans got to fail before you become willing to accept God's plan. And if that is what it takes, God will let you fail. And we think God is being hard. We think he's being mean. We think he's just not listening to us. See, we got to settle in our hearts and mind that God is good all the time. And all the time, God is good. Settle it. Get it down in your heart. Don't let doubt run up in there and get in the way, right? That's right. Notice two things here. Number one, Peter didn't argue with Jesus. He simply obeyed. Now, as a professional, like I said, he could have found plenty of doggone reasons to rebuke against, you know, what God was telling him to do. You know, I know you're a good, you know, minister and you can heal and all that, but I'm a professional fisherman. You know, you don't need to tell me how to fish, right? But he didn't. We see that Peter worked in humility. He didn't argue. Number two, we also see that he didn't listen to his feelings, right? No doubt he was dog tired from toiling all night and fishing. But instead of being led by his feelings or leaning on his own understanding, he exercised faith in the promises of God. That's what we need to remember ourselves, ladies and gentlemen. Sometimes we'll let our feelings get in the way. We'll lean on our own understanding. But the Bible cautions us not to do that. Let's shine a little scripture light on that. We'll find that in Proverbs 3. It should be on screen. Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6. Hold on so I can get with you here. Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6 cautions us to trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding. See? In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he'll do what? He will direct your path. Amen. Amen. So those two things to remember there. Don't argue, just obey. And don't let your feelings get in the way. Don't let your own little human knowledge come in conflict with God. Okay? And remember this as well. Now, God is no respecter of person. What he done for Peter's career and life, he'll do for us as well. He'll do for you as well. You got to internalize that. You got to believe that. You got to stand on that, right? It is for you. It is for you. Lesson number three. That was a good one. Now, lesson number four. You see all these things in there. If you can read through them so fast and don't get the information out of there that we should get out of it. But you take your time and you meditate on it. You'll see that God won't only deal with Peter. He's dealing with us too. He's speaking directly to our hearts, ladies and gentlemen. This is for us. He told Peter to launch out into the deep and let down your net. You see, God's plan for your life usually always involves a little risk. Why? Because God wants us to learn to live by faith. That's why he told Peter to launch out under the deep, because that's where the big fish are. That's why Peter needed his boat. You can't catch no good fish right around the banks. If you catch anything, it's not going to be big, right? That's right. He wants us to live by faith. That's why he told Peter to get away from the shore, get out down the deep. Because that's where the fish are, the big fish are. And brothers and sisters, let's be honest. Most of us, most of our lives, our days, we spend it in shallow waters. Yep. We exist on a superficial level. There's little depth to most of our lives. We are content to play around the edges, never getting out into the deep water. Why? Because it's safer there, right? It's safer in the shallow waters. We think if we really get out into the deep water, there might be some waves. So we said to ourselves, I'll just stay back here where it's comfortable, and fiddle around and barely get our feet wet, because we're afraid of getting in over our heads. Be honest, right? Yeah. So we content to stay in the shallow water, and guess what? We miss out on so much. That's one of the things I was so impressed with Brother Hyman and Murray last week. Man, they just go wherever Jesus said go. They just go. They don't check to see if they got everything all taken care of. They don't see if they got all the I's dotted and all that T's crossed. They're willing to go. You know, when God sent out his disciples to do healing two by two, he told them, don't take nothing. Wasn't that amazing? So don't take no food. Don't even take a coat with you. Wherever you go, he said, the people that receive the word, they'll take care of you. He said, when you get there, they don't, just brush the dirt off the bottom of your feet and go on. So this, I was impressed with Brother Wyman and Mary, because that's the way they were living. They were actually, that's what you call getting out into the deep. That's what you call getting away from the shore. Yep. Understand this. That God's plan for your life is a good plan. Amen. One that will work for your benefit. God's plan is always a good plan. Look at Jeremiah, if you will, 29:11. See what God, how God is operating here. What's in his heart, what he's thinking. Jeremiah 11, you got it up there? Set, huh? 29:13, excuse me. Thank you, Laura. 29:13. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, God is saying. Says the Lord, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. See? This is what God's plan has in store for you. He's not trying to trick you into nothing. He's not going to get you out in the desert and let you die of thirst. He's not going to get you out in the water and allow water to come over your head and drown. His thoughts are to bring you peace, to give you a future and the hope. See, we need to get it down in our spirits and our heart that God is good all the time. And all the time, God is good. Don't allow doubt to sneak in there. Don't allow the evil one to interfere with God's plan for your life. Jesus says, let my presence be with you wherever you go, in your business, in your career, in your family, in your marriage, in every area, let me direct you. Cooperate with my plan, and I will bless you beyond your wildest imagination. What an adventure, right? What an adventure. This is what God wants for us. This is what his plans are for us. It's a good plan, brothers and sisters. The last lesson, fishing lesson number 5. Stand on the promises of God. You see, in their previous fishing attempt, the disciples were trusting in their own experiences and their own abilities. But this time, they were trusting Christ's promises. They were trusting the promises of God. And he told Peter to put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch. You can find that in back in Luke again in 4. Let's look at it to read it for ourselves. and see exactly what it says. Luke chapter 5 again, but this time in verse 4. Listen, it said, when he had stopped speaking, when he had stopped doing his ministry, that was first, right? It said, when he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. He didn't say, go out there in the deep and start fishing. He said, go out there and let down your nets for a catch. Now, what he said is written in red. That's Jesus speaking here. Let down your nets for a catch. Now, Jesus didn't specifically say to Simon, if you go fishing with me, I promise you a big catch. He didn't need to say it, right? Because Peter realized that when Christ told him to go fishing and then got in the boat with him, told him exactly where to fish, when to fish, he knew no way those nets were going to come up empty. Right? Peter was standing on the promises of God. Ain't no way it would come up empty. That's right. Peter expected God to act. He expected him to keep his promise. When you get God's presence in your boat, God's plan in your head, God's promises in your heart, you can't fail. The net will not come up empty. Maybe you're saying, brothers and sisters, maybe someone could be saying, that sounds good, but you don't know my circumstances. Right now, I am defeated by my problems. I'm experiencing some hard times. If you feel beaten by your circumstances, brothers and sisters, do this, family. Study God's Bible. Study it. Find specific promises from God's word and begin to claim it. Start expecting God to begin. Start expecting God to act on your behalf. And you will find that this promise will interject new hope into your situation. Just because you haven't solved your problem doesn't mean the solution doesn't exist. Hold on to God's plan. Stand on God's promises. With God, success often begins at the point of failure. Oftentimes. So the word for us today is don't give up. Try again. Meditate on this truth. God is no respecter of person. God's promises and principles will work. You see, many times for the Christian as well as a non-believer. That's right. As well as a non-believer. You see, God didn't wait for you to get saved to love you. God's love is constant. Matter of fact, the scripture said, while we were yet sinners, at enmity with God, that's enemies, Christ died for us. What love? God don't wait until you get saved to love you. He loves you. God is love. You see, no man can come to God unless he's drawn, brothers and sisters. And God used scriptural principles and promises many times to draw the hearts of many. To draw you. No man come unless he's drawn. You shouldn't think that God don't bless the unsaved. He blessed the unsaved when he allowed him to breathe right along with the saved, right? Oxygen, everything right here. Hallelujah, right? It's a good thing, right? God loves us. And he wants us in his family. How can we get in his family if we're not drawn? Right? God's great promises and principles and privileges is for everyone. And by that, he can witness to our soul. He can draw us in. That is a good thing, ladies and gentlemen, because God is good all the time. And all the time, God is good. Yes, we should shout right there. Shout right there. Even if we got to do it by ourselves, we should shout right there. Y'all heard about shouting John, haven't you? You heard about shouting John? Yeah, John went to a little country church, y'all know. And John used to go down to that country church, and he'd shout, and he'd run up and down the aisles, and he'd just have himself a good time. John would shout and carry on, man, and have the time of his life in church. And the elders and the deacons decided they had to go talk to John. They left one week, early part of the week, and went to see John out there in the field where John happened to be plowing with his mule. And he said, John, we come to talk to you. We want to tell you, you can't be running up and down the aisles and praising and shouting and dancing and all that foolishness in church. So John said, I can't do that in your church. Somebody hold my mule. I feel a shouting coming on right now. John said, I ain't got to go to your church to shout. I ain't got to come up down there and walk down your aisle to shout. Do it right here. Somebody hold my mule. This is shouting time, ladies and gentlemen. Shouting time. Yes, indeed. Brothers and sisters, this is my hope, okay, today, is that we all realize that the big catch is Jesus Christ. That's the big catch. We've been fishing all day, and whether we catch a fish is not very important. But if we catch Jesus Christ, we got all that we need. Amen? We got all that we need. Thank you for your time. Thank you for sharing it with me. The word of the Lord for us today is to surrender in complete humility. Thank you. Hallelujah.